This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. And our guest is HealthSource RI Executive Director Christine Ferguson.
My first question is, there is talk nationally of perhaps extending the March 31st deadline for signups. How does that situation stand in Rhode Island? Is it still going to be March 31st?
I'd be very surprised if nationally they actually do it. The systems issues for carriers as well as state-based exchanges are just immense to change the dates. So I'd be surprised if they change them. What we have been told is that as we look at special enrollments, reasons that people can give for not having enrolled, we can be a little bit more liberal than maybe they were originally thinking. But I don't think that the extension will be delayed.
Okay, so now that we're approaching the deadline for enrollment for this first period.
For individuals, Dave.
For individuals, right. Exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What is the focus? What is the thrust of the healthcare exchange now?
There are many, many outreach and education forums with people who will actually help people enroll scheduled for the next couple of weeks. There is stepped up advertising and just a lot of public outreach.
Has that been an issue reaching Latinos in Rhode Island? There was talk of it being an issue nationally.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think when I'm looking at the numbers preliminarily, I don't see a disproportionate issue.
Now, there were two things that you mentioned. The other thing, aside from a campaign for Latinos, was also for the young invincibles, those people who don't think they need insurance, and also the growth and the expansion beyond what you expect in terms of Medicaid population. So how are those things working themselves out?
Sure. For the Medicaid population generally, people may or may not remember this, but there are actually three things going on at the same time. One is the development of the exchange, which helps individuals still pay for health insurance but have a little bit of a tax credit to defray the cost, and then small businesses, which is a big thrust of ours. And then there's a third category of people who have come in under the Medicaid expansion, and they use the same mechanisms in the exchange HealthSource. For the Medicaid population, there's actually been a really terrific job done on outreach across state government. And we have, I think the last number was somewhere in the neighborhood of 48,000 new people in Medicaid. These are folks who were low income but not eligible because they didn't have children, for example. Those enrollments are higher than what was projected initially. I expect that the providers, the hospital systems and the doctors and other folks in the state who have traditionally had people who didn't have a way of paying are going to be very happy to get reimbursement.
And is that what percentage do you think is it going to end up being higher than what you had expected, do you think?
I think that the estimate, and remember, when we're talking about Medicaid, the one thing that happens with Medicaid, this is kind of a technical geeky budget thing, the one thing that happens with Medicaid is two or three times a year, the legislature and the administration do what's called a caseload estimating conference. So they estimate how many people, what the changes might have been in both cost and numbers of people. So that estimate's going to be updated in the May Avenue Revenue Estimating Conference anyway.
And now what about the young invincibles? You know, that whole issue of what the percentage is of
so the great news, the great news is that we're seeing a real uptick toward the end of this period in young people. We're having some fun with outreach to them. In fact, my son's at Drew University in New Jersey, and I went down to see him in a play, and I took the drafts down, and I did focus groups with all the guys that he knows on the rugby team and everybody else. And while they were horrified at some parts of it, because it talks about moms and nagging and showing moms how to get on Snapchat and Vine, and you can put a stop to that if you sign up for health insurance, they loved the whole campaign, and so we got good marks.
You're going beyond traditional marketing the way the White House has recently done with the president's appearance.
We knew from the beginning, I mean, you guys know this better than I do, the whole change in media has completely transformed how you get to people. And this has been a fascinating kind of experience because on the one hand, we're dealing with Young Invincibles and Vine and OkCupid and that kind of stuff. And then on the other hand, we're dealing with small businesses who have the Providence Business News and other avenues that are completely the opposite. And so it's been interesting and challenging, but we have some really good media folks and a lot of input from the business community and others.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio with our guest, HealthSource RI Executive Director Christine Ferguson.
How are the small businesses responding? At the beginning of the push for signups, there was a slow response, you might say, and how are things now?
Well, I actually, the thing that's so sad to me was at the beginning, we had built up a pretty good head of steam and businesses were really interested. There were a lot of small business interested. Then the federal system broke and crashed. And I don't know if you've read the Time magazine article about the federal system. Mm-hmm. You absolutely should read that. It's phenomenal. But the whole thing crashed. And then you had employers kind of step back because, number one, they weren't sure if it was the same thing. That was one thing. And so we had a lot of hurdles to overcome to let people know that it wasn't our system. It was the federal system and didn't have anything to do with us. And the other and for that reason, you saw that kind of hold back. And then if you look at the community as a whole, we have brokers who have worked very closely with us. We have other brokers who aren't that enthusiastic because they're worried about it. This is a very big change in the marketplace. So we have seen a little bit more word of mouth. There were systems issues. So I want to be clear. It's not just the negative publicity from the federal side, but we had systems issues and enrollment issues at the at early on that had to be fixed.
For the small business.
The small business. Right. And there were some things that were built into the system that we made them do, like ID proofing, that made no sense. So some of that was immediately fixed. I mean, the good thing is we have a SWAT team that goes in and solves those problems. But that didn't help us either. So what we're finding now, the renewals in January, overall in the state, there's about 12 to 1,500 small businesses that renew in January. And then there's like 800 that renew in February. So every month, there's a different number that you're basically targeting. And we're finding that there's been a pickup in the larger small businesses, so the 20 to 50 size small businesses. And we're starting to see more interest again. And as soon as open enrollment for individuals end, you'll see a lot of our efforts shift to a real focus on the sales side for small business.
Because you took some of your staff, your support staff from small business and put them in the individual side.
When
for a
we
while,
have
right?
we cross train, so when we have a big spike, we use people across. the thing that I want to say to small businesses though is, if your broker's not telling you about HealthSource as an option, please ask. And if you don't get any information, please call us.
As we wrap up, we have to ask you, there are some questions coming out of the General Assembly now about future funding of HealthSource RI beyond the next fiscal year, and what should the cost be, how can the state afford it, and what should the size of the agency be. At this point, your response to those questions?
So
those
what issues? I said in the Senate Finance Committee was the number that we look at is $23 million. For a full year operation, we are working with the administration on being able to use federal dollars through 2015. But I don't know what the answer to that is going to be. In any case, we have to decide as a state what this investment is worth. And what I would say to people is, we spend $8.7 billion in 2009. So it's grown since then. $8.7 billion on healthcare. That's a huge part of our economy. If it continues to grow, 1991 to 2000, it doubled. 2000 to 2009, it doubled again. If it continues on that track, we will be spending $17 billion on healthcare in Rhode Island. We can't afford that. If we reduce the cost curve in 1 year by 1%, that's $83 million. That four times pays for 1 year of this. And I think that's the end goal.
Our thanks to HealthSource RI Executive Director Christine Ferguson. Thanks also to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News. I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.